to the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. I'm your announcer, DJ Shy John, and this was recorded on Tuesday, October 22nd, 2013. First off in the news this morning, I'm bringing you something from HuffPost Politics. This is dated October 22nd, and the article is by Robert Shear. What fine? Why J.P. Morgan is laughing all the way to the bank. I am not a crook, Jamie Dimon might as well have been insisting in his 5 telephone calls these past 2 weeks with U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, asking that a criminal investigation of J.P. Morgan Chase be dropped as part of a plea deal on what has turned out to be a $13 billion fine on civil charges. Nope, said Holder, who finally has found the backbone to stand up to the CEO of the nation's biggest bank, who was also once a strong supporter of the president for whom Holder works. Friday night, Demon folded and accepted the record-breaking civil settlement, while the rare criminal investigation into the allegedly fraudulent claims at the heart of the mortgage-based banking securities that have wrecked the economy proceeds. Although the $13 billion fine on the civil charges, which includes $4 billion in direct assistance to swindled homeowners, mostly in depressed inner-city neighborhoods, is to be applauded, it represents about half of the profit J.P. Morgan garnered last year. The company's stock price, which has increased by 23% since January, despite a barrage of crises and fines, has not been damaged by the latest settlement. But for the bank to admit that it committed a crime, as the Justice Department sought, was thought by Demon to be far more threatening to J.P. Morgan's legal position, and it was only Friday night that he agreed to go for the deal without the bank enjoying immunity on possible criminal charges. The criminal case arose from an FBI-obtained email from a J.P. Morgan employee in Sacramento, California, who warned higher-ups at the bank that they were grossly exaggerating the value of the mortgage-backed securities being marketed. That employee is now cooperating with the government, and a trial on the matter will go to the heart of the origins of the economic crisis in which J.P. Morgan played a leading role. Although J.P. Morgan and its CEO have attempted to dismiss the myriad financial market scandals confronting the bank as the consequences of its acquisition of Bear Stearns and Washington Mutual during the financial crisis, the Sacramento criminal case has nothing to do with those other banks. Many of the wounds suffered by J.P. Morgan are self-inflicted, including the LIBOR scandal and the derivative scams of the London Whale, charges of bribing Chinese officials, and failing to report what it knew about the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme, alleged energy price rigging, and the bank's acceptance of fines on its credit operations. The point of accountability for the bank's failing is crucial because Demon has been a leading opponent of tougher banking regulations since before even the 2008 crisis. In the 1990s, Demon had worked with Sanford I. Weill of Citigroup in gutting the sensible restraints of the Glass-Steagall Law, and once those restrictions on too-big-to-fail banks were removed, Demon built J.P. Morgan Chase into what is now the biggest U.S. financial institution by assets. Demon has been an outspoken opponent of even minor attempts to stiffen such regulations during the hearings on the Dodd-Frank legislation. Demon denounced the tepid efforts of his old Chicago buddy-turned-president to bring a modicum of oversight to the financial industry, and pointedly soured on the Democrats in the last election. This despite the fact that Obama had appointed former J.P. Morgan executive William Daley to be his chief of staff, and that then-Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner had more frequent contacts with Beamon than with any other financial industry executive. It had been Geithner, in his previous capacity as head of the New York Fed, who had worked with Beamon, a New York Fed board member, on the deal to acquire Bear Stearns that the Fed financed with $55 billion in aid and an additional $25 billion in TARP money for J.P. Morgan Chase. Beamon had long been the poster boy for Democrats eager to rival Republicans in sucking up to Wall Street, and his current disgrace might offer them a much-needed wake-up call, but not likely. In one of the more obscene moments in the conversations between Holder and Beamon, between Mr. Justice and Mr. Hustler, if you will, according to the Wall Street Journal's interviews with those knowledgeable about the discussions, the two wanted part of the settlement to aid distressed urban areas, beginning with bankrupt Detroit. Both agreed they would like to see Detroit area homeowners helped. Mr. Beamon noted that the bank had long had a big presence in that area and that he would like some of the assistance to go there. How special. Obama once referred to his buddy Beamon as one of the smartest bankers we got, but clearly his administration is now less impressed. J.P. Morgan has been shameless, and as the New York Times reports, at least 7 federal agencies, several state regulators, and 2 foreign countries are investigating J.P. Morgan Chase. But the betting in the business press is that Beamon will survive quite nicely, secure in his roughly $20 million pay and backed by a hand-picked board of directors focused on the bank's still buoyant stock price. What the street knows is that the banksters win even when they appear to lose. How nice for them, huh? Well, now on to the Harper's Weekly Review. Dated also October 22nd, 2013. 16 days into a U.S. federal government shutdown, on the evening before the Treasury Department was set to exhaust the extraordinary accounting measures it has been using since May to pay down U.S. debts, congressional Republicans agreed to pass a bill that would fund the government until January 15, 2014, and would raise the country's debt ceiling until February 7th. If we learn nothing else, I hope we learn we shouldn't get behind a strategy that has no end game, said Senator Kelly Ayotte, Republican, New Hampshire. The snowshoe hare, every 10 years, multiplies sixfold, said a Republican strategist explaining on CNN the thinking of Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who played a crucial role in precipitating the shutdown. A House stenographer interrupted voting on the bill in order to deliver a speech about God and the Freemasons. This is not one nation under God. It never was, she said. Had it been, it would not have been. Alcatraz Island reopened. The U.S. Forest Service recommenced logging. The National Zoo reconnected its panda cam. And North Carolina resumed dispersing welfare benefits to children. Hundreds of thousands of furloughed federal employees returned to work, among them Internal Revenue Service auditors, issuers of permits to Alaskan crabbers, and laborers at the White House vegetable garden, where squirrels were found eating rotting tomatoes and a fox had taken up residence. I can tell that the alcohol industry missed us, said Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau Specialist Renee Yankee. Newark Mayor Cory Booker, Democrat, won a special election for New Jersey's vacant U.S. Senate seat, and Saudi Arabia rejected a seat that it had won on the United Nations Security Council. Double standards existing in the Security Council prevent it from performing its duties, said the Saudi foreign minister, Should have thought of that, said Guatemala's ambassador to the UN before competing for the seat. J.P. Morgan Chase agreed to pay the U.S. Department of Justice $13 billion in order to end federal probes into its sales of mortgage-backed securities. A teenager was arrested in a New York City Victoria's Secret store while shoplifting with a fetus in her handbag, and a Thai man was arrested for trying to donate approximately $95 worth of methamphetamines to a flood relief center. I want to do good deeds and help people, said the man. I took 5 Yaba pills before coming here. Canada and the European Union reached a comprehensive free trade deal after Canada agreed to import more cheese, and Belgian authorities lured the Somali pirate leader known as Loudmouth to Brussels by offering to make him an advisor on a non-existent documentary film about his life. Peter Fitzek, the self-appointed ruler of New Germany, a 22-acre plot of land in Saxony-Anhalt, was jailed for driving without a valid license. I do own a license, said Fitzek at his trial in Neustadt, that of my kingdom. An Iranian prisoner who awoke in a mortuary after being hanged was ordered hanged again. Authorities in Florida recaptured 2 convicted murderers who were released after court officials received a forged order from a judge. We're kind of like the post office, said a court spokeswoman. It comes in and we move it along. The FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force investigated a spate of green laser attacks on the cockpits of New York-bound passenger airplanes. Flights out of LAX were grounded after a dry ice bomb exploded in an employee restroom, and a Melbourne airport terminal was shut down after a kangaroo hopped into an airport pharmacy. Fukushima Industries introduced as its mascot a flying egg named Fuckapee. Bootleg liquor killed 42 people in the Indian state of Uttar Pradesh. New Mexican hazmat crews battled a chili powder cloud, and California bacteriologists agreed to self-censor publication of the gene sequence of botulism toxin H, the deadliest substance yet discovered. Paleoanthropologists posited that 1.8 million-year-old prehuman skull discovered in Georgia might collapse the distinctions between Homo erectus, Homo rudolfensis, and Homo habilis. Arachnologists discovered the missing link between spiders and scorpions, and archaeologists claimed that Mesolithic settlers ate roast toad at Blickmead. 2 Utah men were receiving death threats for upsetting a hoodoo at a 170 million-year-old Jurassic Red Rock formation in Goblin Valley. Kentucky herpetologists accused Pentecostal serpent handlers of starving their snakes to render them impotent. A Peruvian magistrate outlawed the eating of cats, and residents of Talkeetna, Alaska, discussed possible successors for Stubbs, the town's ailing cat mayor. Anything's better, said one citizen, than a human. And this article was written by Ryan Liebenthal. Once again, bringing us to the end of this week's Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. And like I always say, people, be good to each other in the coming week and stay out of the news.